ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय यस्मान् संभरो राज्यं भारः प्राणः कुलं प्रजा आसन् संभत्ना विजयो लोकाश यद् अनुग्रहात् यस्मन्न संभरो राज्यं दारः प्राणः कुलं प्रजाः आसन् सपत्न विजय लोकश्च यरनुग्रहात् यस्मन्न संभरो राज्यं दारः प्राणः कुलं व्रजाः आसन् सपत्न विजय लोकश्च यरनुग्रहात् यस्मन्न संभरो राज्यं दारः प्राणः कुलप्रजा आसन् सपत्न विजय लोकश्च यरनुग्रहात्
Yeah.
Yasmat. From whom? Nah. Our. Sampada. Opulence. Rajyam. Kingdom. Dara. Good wives. Prana. Existence of life. Kulam. Dynasty. Praja. Subjects. Asan. Have become possible. Sapatna. Competitors. Vijaya. Conquering. Loka. Future accommodation. In higher planets. Cha. And. Yet. By whose? Anugrahat. By the mercy of. Translation. From him only, all our kingly opulence, good wives, lives, progeny, control over our subjects, victory over our enemies, further accommodation higher, and further accommodation in higher planets have become possible. All this is due to his causeless mercy upon us. Purport. Material prosperity consists of a good wife, good home, sufficient land, good children, aristocratic family relations, victory over competitors, and by pious work, attainment of accommodations in the higher celestial planets for better facilities of material amenities. Notice here he says better amenities. He doesn't say more happiness. Because it's,
what do you call it?
Relative. You know, like somebody's living on the side of the road and something very major happens, like the truck drives through their, you know, wet tarpaulin house. That's a major disaster. But, you know, you have a big, huge house and big thing, you know, if somebody drives a bicycle across your lawn, you know, and makes a mark, that's a big disaster. So it's relative. So notice he says you get better amenities. He doesn't say that your perception of it will actually be any more happy. That's a very interesting. We left that out. These facilities are earned not only by one's hard manual labor or by unfair means, but by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Prosperity earned by one's personal endeavor also depends on the mercy of the Lord. Personal labor must be there in addition to the Lord's benediction. But without the Lord's benediction, no one is successful simply by personal labor. The modernized man of Kali Yuga believes in personal endeavor and denies the benediction of the Supreme Lord. Even a great sannyasi of India delivered speeches in Chicago. I wonder who that could be. Protesting the benedictions of the Supreme Lord. But as far as Vedic Shastras are concerned, as we find in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, the ultimate sanction for all success rests in the hands of the Supreme Lord. Maharaj Yudhishthira admits this truth in his personal success, and it behooves one to follow in the footsteps of a great king and devotee of the Lord to make life a full success. If one could achieve success without the sanction of the Lord, then no medical practitioner would fail to cure a patient. Despite the most advanced treatment of a suffering patient, by the most up-to-date medical practitioner, there is death. And even in the most hopeless case, without medical treatment, a patient is cured astonishingly. Therefore, the conclusion is that God's sanction is the immediate cause for all happenings, good or bad. Any successful man should be grateful to the Lord for all he has achieved. So here is an element that's generally not addressed so much in Krishna consciousness, you know. Generally, you won't find devotees talking about, yeah, you know, I got so much money, and I got nice wives, nice facilities, it's all great. Devotees will generally very carefully skirt these points in a discussion. Because anything that touches on sensuality, emotion, attachment, is all, you know, how do you say, categorically bad. And so because it's bad, it's not dealt with, right? This is the formula, 100% or zero, right? And if you use this formula very nicely, then you're guaranteed to end up with a completely dysfunctional, neurotic situation. Guaranteed. You don't have, with full faith, you can dive in. You don't have to worry like that. So, therefore, these things are never addressed by devotees. Here, Maharaj Yudhishthira, very confidently, is saying that all these facilities are there by the Lord's grace. And he's not running away from it. He's not saying that, oh, I'm a married man, I'm a kshatriya, I perform my duties, but, you know, I'm not interested in any of this, right? You know, I'm married, but I'm not interested in women, I'm not interested in the emotional exchange, I'm not interested in children, I'm not interested in money, I'm not interested... They don't say that. They say, yes, according to your duties, this is our interest. But this interest has been fulfilled by the Lord's grace. My endeavor does not give any result. It's interesting to note here that Prabhupada points out that endeavor must be there. Because generally we take it that there's the point, Prabhupada makes the point that whether you work or not, the fruit of your result will come. Right? It means it's not that by your work you're getting that result. No, that result will come to you. But here Prabhupada points out is that that result must come through some medium. Right? It's a pastime. Pastime means it's got to come through something past time. Time means activity. Right? So some activity where you're interacting with others, that will be the medium through which the result that God gives will come. But it's not because you perform the activity, right? Ma phaleshu kadachana. It's not because I've performed the work, therefore I deserve the result. This is Jaimini's idea. I worked, therefore I deserve the result. But Prabhupada points out, people are working, not getting result. Others are not working, getting result. Right? So an activity must be performed. You can't not perform activity. Right? Laziness, that's ignorance. So that's, technically speaking, Buddhism. Right? Because Buddhism is impersonalism based on the mode of ignorance. While impersonalism is based on the mode of goodness. Right? Karma is based on passion. Right? So you have rot, what's it? Vita raga, bhaya, krodha. Right? So raga is attachment, bhaya is fear, and krodha is anger. So raga comes from attachment, passion. Bhaya, fear, that's actually coming out of goodness, because we don't know what the situation is. We're lacking knowledge. And anger comes from frustrated material desire. When passion is frustrated, then it turns into ignorance. Right? Like blind anger, blind jealousy, but it's ignorant. So that's the progression. Is that when one is frustrated in getting the material desires, the raga, his attachments are not fulfilled, then he throws them out. Okay, I don't want. Then he takes up this more sattvic, detached, very philosophical, all this. Then, when he's frustrated in that, because that doesn't make him happy, he becomes angry. So then, Buddhism. That's the thing. Nothing. But then you see, because it's ignorance, then it gets back into the body, into the senses, into... like that. It's just the way it is. So then... yeah. Let me get into that. Oh, so then the activity, then we have to see is what is the motive for our activity. Because activity must be there. So please Krishna, then it works very, very nicely. It works fine. If it's not to please Krishna, then it doesn't matter what it is, it will not be nice. It won't be successful. If Krishna's pleased, we'll be happy. It's one of those things we just kind of got to get used to, you know? It's just the way we are. Means the jiva, we discussed this before, the jiva can only be happy when someone else is happy. That's the way they're designed. Problem comes is we want to be the direct enjoyer of something, and that's only Krishna. But we're being an expansion of the expansion. We're an expansion of the internal potency. Right? So the internal potency is happy when Krishna is happy. The marginal potency is happy when the internal potency is happy that Krishna is happy. Does that make sense? In other words, someone else has got to be happy. Then we're happy. And if we think about it, the more kind of deep feelings or emotions come from doing something that pleases someone else. Right? That's actually, when something that we're the direct enjoyer of it, we're not. We can talk about it, but we're not actually directly enjoying it. Even when it's going on, you'll find that it's so nice, we can't just stay in that niceness. You have to start talking about how nice it is. You have to put yourself in the third person to actually continue to enjoy it. Does that make sense? As long as you're not thinking about that this is great, you're actually enjoying it. As soon as you think, wow, I'm enjoying this, it's already in the past. The enjoyment's over. Now you're just talking about what it was. Right? So that means in the Pratyaksha, Aparoksha. What's the next one? What's the third level? No. This is levels of consciousness. Paroksha, Aparoksha, then? There's something in between Adhoksha. Oh, Prakrita, Paroksha, Aparoksha. You're right. So Aparoksha means that it's not directly perceived. You're in a situation that's nice, the activity that's going on is nice, and indirectly you perceive that it's nice. We discussed this previously, that the example is given of sleeping, right? When you're sleeping, you're not noticing that it's a nice sleep, but afterwards then you'll say, that was nice. You can say, I had a good night's sleep, or I didn't have it. You can very confidently say that, and everybody will confidently believe you. Right? But, were you experiencing it at the moment? No. So that's the platform of religious principles. That's the actual platform of emotion. So that's why you can't directly experience the emotion. It happens. Then you can perceive that it's there. As soon as you focus on it, it's gone because it's not active anymore. It becomes static. If it just runs, you're in the situation of experiencing that nice situation. So that's the jiva. Right? In other words, the pastime, the Lord's pastime is going on. You're somehow or another connected to it. You experience it. You experience the Lord's happiness. That's your happiness. Because as soon as you try to directly catch it, that's masculine. Only Krishna can do that, directly appreciate it. We have to get it by the nuance of it. We're there experiencing it, but it's not direct. As soon as we focus on it, it's gone. So when you focus on the activity of that situation, you'll experience it. As soon as you focus on the experience, it's gone. It's like a mirage. Here it's a mirage, there it's real. Does that make sense? Like you're going down the highway, right? The road is hot. You see the water. But if you focus on that point where the water is, you see cement and it's gone. So as long as you're just taking in the ambience of the whole thing, you get the experience. But as soon as you try to enjoy it, it's gone. So that's the point. We're not enjoyers. But we enjoy by the other, and that's actually better. Because you think there's nothing more refreshing than a very good sleep. But you didn't directly experience it. Like that. So it's a very subtle point. So here is Maharaj Yudhishthira, the Pandavas are in this ideal situation. You can't get a better situation than they had. Whatever they had in facilities when the Lord sanctioned it was better than Indra. Indraprastha was better than Indra's place. Right? You don't get a better wife than Draupadi. Right? If you're talking about within the sphere of material enjoyment, she is Sachidevi. Indra is the top person that can enjoy the material energy. Above him, the great sages, the Prajapatis and that, they're not into enjoying the material energy. But as far as material facility goes, he's got the top. Right? Brahma's technically got more, but that's not his interest, so it doesn't mean as much. You know? It means something to you, it has a value. Does that make sense? It means the gold has meaning to you if gold is a value. If it doesn't, then it just doesn't have any meaning. So for the sages, material enjoyment isn't important. Therefore, even though they have more, it doesn't mean anything to them. But Indra means something to him. So he's the top you can get, and it means something to you, and you get the maximum out of it. His wife is Sachi. Right? So that means she's going to be the maximum you can get out of the interaction male-female. So that's Draupadi. Right? Their wealth is beyond. It can't be counted. Their power. So many kings may be emperors of the world, but they're not undisputed. Even Yudhishthira's enemies accept him as the emperor because they know he's the most qualified. He's the best. There's no doubt about that. You know, maybe they may be jealous. They want to be the emperor, but they have no doubt that he should be. Others, then there's some doubt. But he's more powerful, so you submit. But here, it's even if he's less powerful, they submit. Even Karna accepted his sovereignty. So then, all these different things, control over the subjects, that the subjects are surrendered, right? It means there's no use in control if you're not in control. Right? The taste of control is being in control. It's not trying to be in control, it's being in control. Right? It means the taste of doing an activity doesn't come till you have control. You're trying to get control. But once you have control, then that's where the flavor comes. You have control. Now this is someone who all the time they have control. They don't have to try to gain control. Right? Victory over enemies, they're always able to conquer the enemies. Whatever the situation, whatever the foes, the greatest personalities, they're able to conquer. Duryodhana was a partial expansion of Kali Raj. Right? He conquers everybody. Yudhishthira Maharaj conquered him. So everybody's been conquered. So whatever is desirable, and we have to admit this is what's desirable. If we don't, means we don't know what we're dealing with. We don't know what is the devotional science. Because ignorance and knowledge have to be just studied together. Then we're only studying knowledge, and we don't know what ignorance is. Therefore, we're in ignorance, and we don't know it. Right? It's just like, it's a common, you know, theme. You have the big, you know, manly Hulk, and he's a little sick. Will he admit that he's sick? Never. It's not manly to be sick. So then what happens? He's never cured. He may perform his manly activities sick. So 50% of being cured is recognizing what the disease is. If you don't recognize disease, you'll never be cured. So when he recognized, this is the disease, this is what I want. We want great opulence, good wives, we want great lives, we want progeny, we want control over subjects, we want victory over our enemies, we want higher accommodation. That's what we want. That's why we're here. If we didn't want it, we wouldn't be here. We'd be somewhere else. Right? We wouldn't be in this place. So this is what we want. Now the point is where does it come from? It comes from Krishna. And then the side that we are good at is that it's useless. It's useless, but we have to admit that it is what we want. Because if it wasn't what we want, we wouldn't have anything bad to say about it. Right? He's out in the parking lot in the back, an orange car. What do you have to say about that? Anything? So unless you have an issue with cars or with orange, you have nothing to say. Because it's no value to you, it has no meaning to you, it's not important. So therefore, you'll never talk about it. So what we talk about, that's what's important to us. So if we're always talking about, you know, this is bad, this is that, you know, that's what's important to us. So we have to acknowledge that and admit that that is where our material attachment lies. Now, if we're dealing with it from the detached platform, that means we're making that endeavor to give it up. But until we recognize that we have it, we won't be able to give it up. Because on its own, renunciation does not give the result. Right? And knowledge on its own won't give the result. So the activity performed with detachment and knowledge, that gives the result. Right? That's the actual thing. Because we'll try one at a time. Oh yeah, it's useless. We'll pull in the senses. Then that doesn't work. Oh, this doesn't work, we gotta be practical. Then we just absorb the senses in activity. And then after 10 years of that, then we're frustrated, then okay, back in the temple, back with the devotees. And then you know, life's great again, back in devotional service and all that, and then again, pull in the senses, you know, then a little philosophy, then that doesn't work, then because we're trying the process one at a time, we're not putting it together. You know, we're eating the sabji on its own, we're eating the rice on its own, we're eating the dal on its own. It's supposed to be put together. Right? That's how it works. So when the activity that is important to us is done with knowledge and detachment, that the result is Krishna's, then we'll get the result we want. We'll actually be in the sphere of experiencing what it is we desire, but since it's not for us, it's for Krishna, we'll get the good experience, but it's not ours, so therefore we'll get out of it. That's the thing. We think by directly experiencing and enjoying it, then I will know. Because you have to add in detachment and knowledge. Because as soon as we try to directly, it evaporates. That's just the way energy is. Since it's all Krishna's, He is the energy, He can directly approach it, and it doesn't evaporate, because it is Him. But since it's not us, the principle is when the male approaches the female moves. That's the automatic reaction. So since we're not the male, that it is our energy, the energy can't get away. But with us, it's not us, so the energy gets away. So because for Krishna, it is the interaction with His energy that gives taste. This is the masculine principle. It's the interaction. It's not the controlling, and it's not the enjoying. It's the interaction. Therefore, Govindaji is the most important. Therefore, Vasudeva is the most prominent. Right? That's the principle. Because he doesn't have to try to control, he is in control. He doesn't have to try to enjoy, he is enjoying. So for him, he adds to his enjoyment by interacting with the devotees. So even for Krishna, the thing is just that interaction with it. And he lets Yoga Maya control it and all that. So that's the platform. That's how it functions. Right? So this trying to directly enjoy, directly engage, directly control, it won't work. Because Krishna is in control and Krishna is the enjoyer. So if we recognize that, then those fields that are important to us, then perform those activities to please Krishna. And the result is up to Krishna. Then it works. What you're looking for, you'll get. At the same time, it's not yours. That's the problem. It's the principle of you have your cake and eat it too. You can't have both. Right? You can have the cake, but you can't eat it. You can eat it, but you can't have it. So if it's Krishna's and it's for Krishna, then you can eat it. You'll taste it, but it's not yours. As soon as you say, yes, this is mine, then eating's over. You got the cake, but you can't eat it. You can't do both. That's the dilemma. We want to do both. That's God. He can do both. We can't. We're jivas. It just doesn't work. Right? But he allows the need for control, the need for enjoyment. Okay, what area of control and enjoyment is important to you? Engage in that, but according to Krishna's direction, to please him. And in a mood of, it's Krishna's. Detachment means it's Krishna's, it's not mine. So therefore, if it's Krishna's, I'll deal with it like this. Just like, let's say, you borrow something valuable from a friend. Right? And you're using that thing. Because it's your friend's, you'll take care of it very nicely, use it very nicely, and you enjoy the facility of it. But as soon as you claim that it's mine, then immediately there's a fight. There's a problem. So that's the point, is one will say, oh, detachment you can't enjoy. No, only in detachment can the jiva enjoy. There's no question this thing is, this idea of detachment means there won't be any interaction, won't be any happiness. No, that's the only place there is. In the realm of attachment, there is no interaction. Right? It's just you're experiencing the attachment. You're not experiencing the interaction. The interaction is in between. Abhideya is in between sambandha and prayojana. That's where the activity is. Right? You're so attached to it, you can't interact with it. To interact with it, there has to be some detachment, otherwise you can't function. Right? You know, the guy has something new, his new car. No one can come near it. Anybody else can come, lean on the car, talk, you know, open the windows, close the windows, you know, open, push a button or things like that. But the guy in the new car, no, don't touch it. So where's the enjoyment? There is none. The attachment is so much, you can't enjoy it. So without detachment, you can't actually function. So it's a misunderstanding that detachment means no interaction. Detachment is actually where interaction starts. Attachment is just the desire, the need for interaction, but it's not interaction. Attachment is dependent, its attainment is based on activity. But attachment itself is not activity. Does that make sense? Relationship with something and attachment to something aren't activity. Right? Activity means, based on the relationship, connecting with the desired object. That's the pastime. That's why the middle is what's important. Abhideya is what's important. The goal is up to Krishna. Relationship is already established. Taste comes into interaction. So therefore, the detachment is, without that you can't interact. Because if you're so attached, you can't use it. But as soon as you let go of it, then you can stand back, then you can attain it. Right? Does that make some sense? Like that? So this is the thing. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is pointing out that all this, whatever anybody, even though they themselves are great devotees and that's not what they're interested in, But the point is that's what everybody else in the material world is interested in. And this is what so much rasa within the material world is based on. And simply by the Lord's grace, they have all this. But you can see it's not what's important to them. They're just as happy in the forest with nothing as they are in Indraprastha with as emperors of the world. So for them, it's whatever situation Krishna puts us in, that is the proper situation of the jiva. So whatever it is, you have your idea how it will go, but you make your endeavor according to your duties. Whatever result comes, you just leave that up to Krishna. If you can do that, then you'll always be satisfied. As soon as we try to control it to make it go exactly the way we want, with attachment, then we simply become frustrated. Frustration creates anger. Right? And we see there's a lot of anger around. That's because there's a lot of frustration. If there's a lot of frustration, it means there's a lot of unfulfilled desire or unfulfilled attachment. Right? And that attachment is based on desire. Does that make some sense? So like that, then it's we should. Because we see here is that everything's based on activity, even in these four aspects, just from the previous chapter. I don't know if it came out, but previous verse. Krishna Prabhupada gives here four verses from the Bhagavad Gita. These four verses represent Vasudeva, Shankarsham, Prajumna, Nani Ruda. We'll notice in them, even though they have a different aspect that's prominent, activity is the working principle of all four. For whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of your religion, at that time I descend myself. Right? So the Lord comes for his pastimes, Vasudeva. So wherever there's a decline in religious practice means the activity is declining and irreligion is increasing, then he comes. Does that make sense? So activity is there, otherwise it's not happening. There's no pastime. To deliver the faithful, to annihilate the miscreants, and also to reestablish the principles of occupational duty, I appear in every age. That's Shankarsham. Right? So he's annihilating, delivering the faithful, annihilating the miscreants, reestablishing religious principles, then he's coming. Right? So that's Sankarshan. Sankarshan is the form of it. In other words, the facilities that are there, the field of activity in which you're going to perform your activities. Vasudeva is the activity. Sankarshan is the field of the activity. Then, if I should cease to work, then all humanity would be misdirected. I would also be the cause of creating unwanted population. And I would thereby destroy the peace of all sentient beings. So this is Prajumna. Because Prajumna has entered into everything. That's Cupid. So our attraction to anything in the material world is because Prajumna has entered it. So that's why you act, because you're attracted to it. Right? So he's the one where it's going on. These are the energies that are flowing that create the action. You want that, but to do that, Krishna's energies must make it work. We're not doing it. We're not. It's Krishna's energy flowing through it. You know, you want to pat the kid on the head, but then that parental energy must be going through into the child energy. So we're neither energy. The universal form is those energies. So this dead matter of Sankarshan in the form of a kid and the dead matter in the form of an adult gets empowered by the parental energy and empowered by the child energy, they flow towards each other. They are interacting. And we're on the side watching. So as soon as we want to, I'm the one controlling a joint, then you're out of the loop. But if we're on the side saying it's Krishna's energy, this is the way the parent deals with the child with the parent, then you're observing that happening on the side. As we were saying before, aparoksha. Because that's the platform, emotion, religious principles, that's where what we're actually looking for is all happening. It means on this platform. Right? Spiritual platform is the ultimate happening. But what we're looking for here, that we're frustrated with here, is that. So if we're an observer of it, then you'll experience the energy moving, the interaction, the smiles, the this, the that. But as soon as you try to catch it and say, this is mine, it's gone. Because as soon as you do that, then the child goes to the swing con. Because the energy stopped flowing. Right? You see, kids wandering around, this, that, comes in, interacts, this, that, so cute, you grab them, right? Then what's the next thing that happens? They're trying to get up and get away. Right? But if you're just interacting and all that, it'll go on for as long as that moves, and then they'll move on. But because of that, grab, mine, God, hey, I'll enjoy this more, but that moment's gone. And then they're just looking, you know, with what next they can interact with, and they're gone. So that's the thing. So that's why it's always said, perform your prescribed duty. Because then you have a form in which the universal form's energy will flow, and you happen to be a medium for that. Then what you're looking for, that energy will flow through you and back, and through you means coming from your side to the others or the others to you. But as soon as you try to say, I am that, then that's Sankarsana. The energy says Pajumna. And then the enjoyment of it, whatever action the great man performs, common men will follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So we see also here, what's being performed, everyone will follow, and everyone tries to obtain. This is Aniruddha. So this is where the actual enjoyment is. Exemplary things done, properly done, gives the proper result. So the enjoyment of it is Aniruddha. You try to enjoy it, then it falls out of that. Okay, you want to enjoy it? Go for it. You know, just like the child. The parent is helping the child and doing it, and it goes on. It's a nice interaction. So the child, no, I'll do it. Okay, you do it. Then is it successful? No. So that's things. When you're doing it with, then you have that association. Then it's very nice. So that's the... This is the principle, is how it works. So the whole material energy is functioning under these four. Because these are the four areas of false ego. Vasudev, I descend. Why I descend? Because that's why we descend here, because of false in pure consciousness. We've come into the material world because we think I'm the controller and enjoyer. Krishna is the controller and enjoyer. He comes here as his pastime. We come here to perform our pastime. Right? Sankarsana, we think the gross body and the gross elements, the facility, is us. But that's the false ego based expanding from Sankarsana. Then we think that we're going to perform so many nice activities and all these different things. Right? And because we're attracted to them. I like this, I want to do that. That's Prajumna. But he's empowered, it's dead. But we identify with it, we think it's us. Right? That's the senses and the intelligence. Right? Sankarsana is the false ego. Vasudeva is impure consciousness. Right? And Aniruddha is the mind. Because the mind is where you sense that this is nice or not nice. Right? So everything that functions here is working on these four principles. Vasudeva is Abhideya. Sankarsana and Prajumna are two aspects of Sambandha, right? It means you have to have the elements, and then you have to have the relation, attraction between them, the desire. Does that make sense? It means unless you have something, you can't. There's no relationship. So a relationship has to be there, and that attraction for that relationship, that's Prajumna. So you have the elements that you can be attracted to. So they go together. So therefore, Sankarsana and Prajumna go together. Means Prajumna is the son of Sankarsana. Right? And then Aniruddha is then the son of Prajumna. Because then from that attraction, then you'll get your happiness. But all that's based around Vasudeva. So even Sankarsana, Prajumna, Aniruddha, their whole activities are all based around Vasudeva. Right? Krishna and Dwarka, right? That mood there, it means the pastimes, the Vasudeva, but same time as he's Sankarsana. Right? Then his son is Prajumna, his son is Aniruddha. But their life is just Krishna. So that's the thing. The activity is the central feature. That's why Prabhupada's always pushing, be active. Whatever you're active in, do it fully. Don't hold back. You're going to do it? Do it. You're not going to do it? Find something that you are going to do. That's the main thing. You want to know if you're situated nicely? Are you fully absorbed? Are you completely doing it? Whatever it is that you want to do. You want to manage, you want to make money, you want to study, you want to teach, you want to eat, you want to take rest. Whatever it is, it should be done fully. Because then you're fully absorbed. Right? And then it's done according to, so that's the activity. That's Vasudeva. Right? But you're doing that to please Krishna, not us. We're not the controller, we're not the enjoyer. We make the arrangements of the facilities, that's Shankarshan. We need to do that, that's Prajumna. The result that will come, that's Aniruddha. Okay. Yeah. So therefore, if we have this understanding and that faith, then we'll see is that then we become actually happy. It happens. Right? What do you say? It's like that sticker, right? Happiness happens, right? It comes. So any questions or comments on this? Yeah. You had something? Yeah. Yeah.
As a principle of the discussion, the real happiness comes from the platform of being enjoyed. As soon as you try to be enjoyed in some capacity, mirage, the experience disappears.
Uh-huh.
So when you look at the platform of someone who may take things cheaply, like Sahaja, that an individual is, could you see it as an experience of concentrated selfishness? That, in other words, I'm trying to control an experience,
mm-hmm.
and in that way, one's an illusory.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Maharaj's question is, when you take someone like a Sahaja, that they are, it appears that they are enjoying, but they are enjoying the illusory experience, because we made the presented the thesis that as soon as you try to enjoy it, you don't enjoy it. But it appears that the Sahajas are really trying to enjoy it. But actually they're not, because they're not actually absorbed in the activity. They're absorbed in controlling the activity. So they drop back to Sambandha. They're not technically, even though the activity of Abhideya is going on, the consciousness is in Sambandha. Because they're controlling the activity. Well, I'll do this for Krishna, and I'll go get the water pot for Krishna, and I'll do this, but where's the relationship with Krishna coming in? It doesn't exist. So that's what they're talking about. Yeah, and then you do this for Krishna, you do that for Krishna. But that's the situation of existence. You're existing in that situation, but the point is where's the rasa? Because the activity then will give the result, the taste. But the point is it's Krishna, but then Krishna becomes the object. See, here's the thing, is that much of the time when we think about Krishna, we think about it Krishna from his angle. Like we think of Radha and Krishna, how do we think about it? What Krishna's doing to Radharani. But that's not our angle. We can't see that. We can see Radharani's experience of Krishna does with her. That's what's open to us. So when we see it, Krishna with Radharani, oh yeah, Krishna's in the kunja with Radharani and now he's doing this or that to here. And that's very common amongst so-called, Raghunuga Bhaktas, but that's the Purusha Bhav. That's coming from the male aspect. So that's not Raghunuga at all. That's still trying to enjoy the Lord's energy. Because it comes from the other end. What is the experience? What service is Radharani doing from Krishna? What experience is there for Krishna getting and her getting from that? That's our angle. So this is how you, the symptoms of how you tell. So there it's, oh, he's doing this, he's doing that. It's just control. Because the male gets his happiness out of doing what he thinks, feels he wants to do. Accomplishing what he wants to do, he calls that happiness. You know what I'm saying? It's the activity itself is through which it's done, but it's attaining what he wants to do. That's why it says Radharani is the only one that can fulfill Krishna's desires. That means that she knows how to reciprocate what he wants to do. Others don't know. They don't have the depth of rasa to interact, because interaction is actually happening through rasa. You know, because in the sambandha, in the control, there's the rasa. That's what's missed in the material world. We just immediately go to lust. You know, we have a lust for something, for food, or for power, or for wealth, or we immediately chip to that. We don't really, it's not our relationship actually with the money. It's just the desire for it, getting it, having it, but you don't really interact with it. It's because we're not actually male. The spiritual world is different. You know? So therefore, Radharani is simply trying to please Krishna. She has no motive. And Krishna is reciprocating with that. That's what the activity is based on. Her love for him, so he responds. So that is what we can be party to. What is the mood of the residents of Vrindavan? And how to assist them in their serving Krishna. Then you get that experience. So it's, as long as you say, I want to do this, I want to do that, that's nice. So therefore, then that falls within the realm of the Vaidhi, that you want to do this activity, that activity. When it comes to the spiritual, then, spiritual realm, then it has to be revealed what is your activity, otherwise you don't know. You have a general idea, but you don't have specific. Right? Until you're liberated, you can't know specifically what. You can have a general idea. You know, just like the kid knows, I want to be a doctor. But what kind of doctor, what exactly he'll do and everything, what hospital he'll work in, what patients he'll see, he won't know until he gets to that stage. But he has a general idea, I want to be a doctor, therefore he goes to school and he focuses on, you know, whatever he needs to focus on to get his degree. So that much you can have. We can have, I want to go to Vrindavan, I don't want to go to Vaikuntha, I don't want to go to Dwarka, I want to go to Vrindavan. So that much we can have. We want to have that mood. So they're not actually experiencing the rasa. They're experiencing the control that they have within, that projected control within the rasa. So they're not actually attained. So that's why it's cheap. It's not real. Because rasa is experienced. It's not controlled. Right? Because everything works like that. If you're a master at anything, that's what's going on. You try to control the chisel, it doesn't happen. You know just the holding it and the hammer and the wood, that the hammer, the chisel, and the wood, they're interacting perfectly. You just happen to be there involved as an instrument. Right? That's why the apprentice is not good, because he's trying to control the hammer, control this, control the wood, and it doesn't happen. But the master's not. He's just the instrument for it. So anything works like that. That's the whole point. As soon as you're... The master is already Krishna. So as soon as you're just the instrument, then it happens. This means all the... Any metaphysical science, any metaphysical, let's say, process, this is what they're trying to teach you. They say be one with it, but we're not saying, oh, be one with the purpose, that's the oneness, but there is a difference between the elements. Otherwise, how is the Buddha sitting there with his body in a lotus and meditating? That means he's different from the meditation. But they'll say you're becoming one with it, that's an experience. But externally they can't become one, that's why their philosophy fails. But ours is you're one in the mood with it, so therefore it happens. That's the point. Krishna happens. He's always going on. But he'll only happen when you relax. As long as you think you're the controller and the enjoyer, then it doesn't happen. It's going on. Whatever you're looking for, that energy is moving and going on and happening. But as soon as you try to get it, it doesn't happen. You know? That's like you see, two people having a very nice conversation, very nice exchange, and that a third party comes along, is attracted by that exchange. They come in and just butt in the conversation and start talking. And then the other two is like, who's this? You know, and then the whole thing's gone. And then the thing, well, you know, I'll go there, I ruin everything for you guys, you know, suddenly now it's your fault, not their fault for butting in. You know, it's kind of like, because they're trying to get in and control it, rather than just coming, sitting, therefore, if they have any part in it, they'll take part. If they don't, they'll just listen. But they have to get in there and control it, and therefore enjoy it, and therefore it's ruined. Like that. So this is the thing, is that this principle works in anything. So anything, so that's the point, is when devotees are looking outside for material systems to make the material energy work, it can never be fully complete, because the materialists are basing it on their observation of how the material energy works. But they don't understand fully the principle of detachment. Because in the mundane concept, or non-Vedic, detachment means, or even in the Vedic, detachment means no work. So there's this thing of letting it happen, and that they get you close to it, and then you get close enough and you kind of experience it, and then they let go. But they can't actually take you scientifically through all the way. They can only get you close to it and kind of point it out and do things that will kind of get you the experience. And once you catch it, if you do, then you have your experience with their experience. But they can't actually fully explain it, because the principles of it are here. So even if you want to use modern things, you have to use it with the Vedic principles, because the modern people don't understand fully the principles. And even without using modern systems, if you use these principles, then using your intelligence, you'll catch it. Of course, learning from others' experience is always valuable. You know, and it says one can learn anything from anywhere. One can get gold from a dirty place. So Karmi has an experience, okay, but it can't take on their flavor and their concept of the principle. Otherwise, then you become like them. And it fails. You know? I mean, I've seen devotees who they had, their job was working for a big, a multinational management firm, to teach people how to manage your life, self-improvement, how to work with people, how to manage and all that. He was one of their good teachers. Right? But, unfortunately, so much expertise, the devotees under him, his charge, revolted, and he had to leave because they felt he was so insensitive and such a bad manager. And though he goes down and he's paid big money to teach other people how to be sensitive, how to be this, how to, but he couldn't himself apply any of it, that he got removed forcibly from his position. You know, and then he went to another continent and then took up teaching over there. You know, so that's the point, is that if you don't understand the principle, really the philosophical principles on which it's based, then it won't work. And if you do, then they observe something, you take it, it works, okay. You know, find a solution that both parties are happy. I mean, that's common sense, but most people don't observe, so they don't figure that out. So then if somebody tells you, hey, make something where both of you are, you know, get what you want out of it, it's kind of like, wow, I only thought I should get what I want out of it. But the point is the reason there's a fight is they want to get fully what they want. Now, if we make a compromise so we both get, then it'll work. Revolutionary, right? You know? But this is common sense. So somebody smart observed this, but it's there in the Shastras. Right? That's what diploma, that's what Sama is. Sama means conciliation. You speak with a guy nicely and try to work out something that you're both happy. So that's the first principle of diplomacy. But somehow or another, we have to wait for, you know, some guy with a bald, also with a bald head, mind you, to work this out for us. Does that make sense? So much of the time where someone presents themselves as an enjoyer, they're only playing with the facilities. You know? And making it appear, because it's like, if you see someone with a nice car, you figure he must be happy, right? He may be sitting in his car and worried about the payments or, you know, anything, you know, that somebody's going to steal it. He could be completely in anxiety. But just because they have it, that's why it says the heavenly plans. As soon as you say better facility, immediately you think, ah, more enjoyment. But it's the same thing. It's just like, okay, you live in a middle-range house. The guy next to you has a better house. The guy next to you on the other side has a worse house. So you feel okay because the guy next to you has a worse house, but you feel a little jealous because the guy next to you has a better house. But now if everybody's house is a palace with golden-crusted jewels and, you know, flowers and this and thousands of servants, then he's got 10,000 servants, you've only got 8. You know, he's got 10 stories on his palace, you've only got 8. You know, so therefore it's relative. It from here we think, wow, that'll be great, but it's not great. It's no different. You know, you're sitting there and the guy next to you on the street in the slum, he just found a new tire to throw on his roof to keep his tarpaulin from falling off. You're jealous. You know, like that. You know. So it's the same thing. So that's why the social system works so perfect, because everybody has someone above them, someone has someone below them. You know, even the bungee, oh, I'm the bungee, I only sweep around the temple here. Right? I'm better than the bungee who sweeps around the guest house. He's better than the bungee who sweeps in the back where all the sewage is. You know? But, you know, from anyone else, they're just a bunch of bungees. No, they're not just a bunch of bungees. There's a serious hierarchy here amongst the bungees. You know? Like that. Even the bungee does the sewage, he's the head of the sewage. You know? So it just goes on and on. They'll find someone. And even the guy at the end, he can go home and kick his dog. Right? So, you know, he's somehow or another superior to somebody. Yeah, so the principle is one really has to see where is the activity and be there, because that's the present. Just talking about the relationship, that's already established, that's the past. Talking about what you're going to get or the happiness you're going to attain, that's the future. So the activity is the present. That's where you'll enjoy it. Does that make sense? Good. So much you were saying from her experience that she's seen is that with the detachment, the element of it, but when she's bringing out one of the working principles of it, is that from the detachment you see the bigger picture. So you can see where you want to get, you can see an obstacle, you can see how to get around an obstacle, your plan is bigger. Well, if you're attached, you generally start to see in a smaller vision. So you just know what you want to get. When an obstacle comes up, you just generally fight with it, this, that, and in doing that, then you may create, difficulties for yourself. And then later on, then you have to work out those difficulties. And that, so therefore, even though you may get what you think you want, you didn't, because all the people and situations that you had to deal with, then it didn't work nice. And it's called burning your bridges, right? So So the detachment has, but here the point, the key of it is detachment is with knowledge. So that means you know what's going on. Because generally detachment means I don't know what's going on. Oh, he's detached means he doesn't even know. But here, what we're talking about here in applying it means detachment means with knowledge you know what's going on. And with duty, so therefore duty must be done properly. Right? Because if you have knowledge, that means you know who you are and who you're dealing with. Right? You're dealing with the kid. So the kids like things done in a certain way. So that's the knowledge. So if it's your duty to interact, you act according to that. Because if you don't, that means you're acting without knowledge. If you deal harshly, you know, when a situation that doesn't call for any firmness, that means you don't know what you're dealing with. That means you're acting in ignorance. And then you're performing an activity that is not your duty. Does that make sense? So that's why the detachment's not a bad thing. It's actually what makes you able to work with it. When you're detached, that's where it starts. You know, just like the new bhakta thing, so when I get initiated, yeah, then I'll have made it. No, when you get initiated, that's when it starts. The process then becomes serious, and Krishna recognizes, yes, here's someone who really is serious about going back to Godhead. He's taking the process seriously. So therefore, he's taking it up. You know, he had faith, that's good. He's associated with devotees, great. But, you know, how many of us know the eternal Mubhakta? Right? So he hasn't taken it seriously that, yes, I want to do Krishna's process fully, how Krishna wants. Then Krishna says, you're serious. That's when it starts. You know? Or I want to get liberated. But that's where it starts. When you're liberated, that's where then it starts, because then you're detached. So the point is when the detachment is there, that's when you can actually deal with it. So that's the problem. We have an idea, it's only when I'm attached to it, then it's nice. No, that's when you can really start working. You know, it's just like you have marriage. And marriages fall apart when that detachment comes. But no, that's where it's just start to work. Because now you can look at things realistically. What is it that I am actually looking for? What is it that the other person's actually looking for? What is it? What facilities do we have according to our past, you know, karma that we can actually fulfill that? So then you're looking at it with detachment, you're looking at it with knowledge, and it's duty. My duty is to help them fulfill their needs and be Krishna conscious. Their duty is to help me fulfill mine. Then you're starting to deal with deep emotion. Before that was just something, it just happened. You don't know why. The modes of nature may. But here now you're talking about some substantial emotion. You know, camaraderie, companionship, working together, these kind of things. You know, these are platitudes that, you know, nations build their whole constitutions on. People go out and get themselves killed over this. You know, this is equity, fraternity, liberty, all these things. They go out and get themselves killed. So this is where it starts. You have to be a little detached to go out and get your head blown off, you know, for a cause. You know? So it's like that, you know. So then, that's where it really starts to work. Now, generally, we think that's where it ends. Oh, we fell out of love. Right? But actually, that's where it begins. Because the love, that was just the passion. But in that, nothing's going on. Right? The boy and girl is sitting on the bench looking at the sunset. Okay, what are they doing? Nothing. They're just sitting there and experiencing. Right? So they're existing. They're not actually doing anything. Right? But when they get to the point where they can not just sit on the bench, and only if they're sitting on the bench they have a relationship, then they can do so many activities together. Right? You can run a house, you can pay bills, you can raise children, you can be part of the community, you can do your devotional service. That's actually where it begins. But in the modern concept, that's where it ends. So because that's the propaganda, when that comes up, then people, oh, it's over, finish. No, that's where it begins. The other one is nice, great, okay, but that's not the real thing. You know? It's like you're eating the meal, right? And you have some lemon on the side, or some salt. You run out of that. Oh, meal's over? Finished? No, there's the meal, and there's those things. You know, they're only added to the meal. Yes.
Once on a walk in Vrindavan in 1976, we had gone down to about a mile, and Yasoda Nandana Swami was on the walk along with a couple of other sannyasis and a few devotees. And Maharaj was actually hopping along at one point, probably out up the road and walked into the forest. And he began hopping, using his dunda to support himself. He was hopping on one foot, and he was trying to extract the thorn that had gone to his foot. Srila Prabhupada was a little annoyed that he was, you know, kind of disruptive in this manner. And he stopped and said, "Where are your shoes?" And Yasodhananda Swami said, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, I left them at the temple. You were in a hurry, and I wanted to go on the walk." And Prabhupada said, "This is not good." And he said, "Well, Srila Prabhupada, to be with you," and he was going to say something almost kind of heartfelt, you know, glorification, "to be with you, Prabhupada, I will endure anything, blah, blah, blah." And Prabhupada said, "It is in no way all right." Just like that. He said, "Those are not your feet. They belong to Krishna. You should take care of them." So from that experience, what I called was Prabhupada was defining custodianship versus ownership. And attachment, proper attachment to custodianship is natural and is wanted. And the concept of ownership, ultimately, I explained, it's not real. And as a father, I know I want to say, for example, you're my daughter. I'm looking for a young man who has a sense of custodianship, not just that this is my wife, but as Lord Kishordas Babaji said, when he was informed that one of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's disciples wanted to marry him. So they told him, he said, "Oh, it's a very good idea that he can get married. Now every day he can cook carefully, prasadam, serve it to his wife and take her remnants. And this way he'll never become infected thinking, this is my wife, I own this woman." He said, "Just take care of her as being, you know, owned by Krishna." Of course, you know, function in that capacity. However, the point is custodianship versus ownership. And custodianship could exhibit all the same symptoms of attachment, but not for myself, but for, you know, for the sake of Krishna. And Maharaj Yudhisthira, he's saying, all this was there because we were taking care of it. So that nice pastime to tell that. It is in no way over.
Thank you. Anything else? Or? Oh, yes. Okay. Last question, and we'll end the class. Anirudh, whatever action the great man performs. So you got four, Bhagavad Gita 4.7, 4.8, 3.24, and 3.21. It is also in second canto, he brings these up again. And in there, he points out a few of them. He says which one's which. Here he just says general. But there he actually points out a few, doesn't point out all of them. But this is the second time I've seen this principle brought up. There's also then in creation of the fifth canto, I think it's fifth canto or third canto, then the four kinds of false ego are described. So then that's what we're functioning on. So we want to dissolve the false ego, then we have to recognize what we consider ourselves' identity is actually Krishna. Controller and enjoyer is a polluted conscious Vasudeva, is actually he's the controller and enjoyer. We're a servant. So then that false ego is purified. To think I'm the body, and to think the facilities and things that I have are me, you know, and mine, that's Shankarshan. You know, and also he establishes duty. So I identify with the duty. I am Brahman, I am Kshatriya, I am Brahmacharya. That's the Lord Chaitanya, Naham Vipro, Nachandarakir. Like that. That's all Shankarshan. Like that. Prajumna is then the intelligence and the senses, where I think I'm very intelligent, or I'll work everything out with my intelligence, or, you know, the senses, you know, I identify with the senses, the activities of the senses, like that. And then, so then we see is actually it's all coming from Krishna. Krishna is intelligence, Krishna gives intelligence. And Krishna is the energies that make for attraction. Like that, that's Prajumna. So it's him. And Aniruddha, that's the mind. Accept and reject. Our value system is created by the mind. What we like, that's important for us. What we don't like is also important to us in the negative. And what the mind doesn't even care about, that's out of our sphere. So then the mind, that's where the seed, the emotions are. So then that place, then if we get, yeah, desires are also come at that point. So then the intelligence will identify the objects of the field, but the mind will then have a desire towards one of them. So that's where the two meet. So that's why the intelligence always has to see the field in a Krishna conscious way, so that the mind will then, what it has to choose from, will be useful, will be Krishna conscious. Then when the mind becomes attached, then it's fully mind. Then the mind starts to use the senses and the intelligence to get done what it wants. Like that. So when the mind is then connected, that the enjoyment, the facility, the result is coming from Krishna, is for Krishna, then that ego becomes purified. So the value system is based on that. So when does that, there is no material existence. It just disappears. So that's the key, is that Mahatattva means when you add time, which is activity, and false ego. Because false ego is the catalyst. You add false ego to pradhan, you get Mahatattva. You add it again, you get false ego as an element. You add it again, you get intelligence, again mind, again ether, again like that. So it's the constant catalyst. So you remove false ego, the material world just disappears. So that's why it says that the Prabhupada's saying, pure devotees, they don't see the material energy. They just see Krishna's energy, because Krishna only sees Krishna's energy. It's inferior energy, just like, you know, you have a superior, you know, item or a tool or a vegetable and an inferior one, but you can work with it, but you just know it's inferior, but you still work. You know, you use a knife to unscrew a screw, you know it's inferior, but it works. You know, so like that. So you get your work done, though it's not necessarily so nice. But so that's the pure devotees here. They just see this Krishna. There's no ego, so therefore there is no material energy. It's just Krishna's inferior energy. Like that. So is that what I said? So this is a very important key. You know, metaphysical key is this. And then you see that Samban Abhideya Prayojana Vasudeva's Abhideya, Sankarsha Prajumna are Sambandha, and Aniruddha is Prayojana. And you can see how it functions. Because everything works, is affected by this. You know, you can take different emphasis. You know, like Pragoshpa was pointing out, ownership and the custodianship. That is an element of this. And you make that prominent because you want to get that point across. You make performance of prescribed duties as prominent because that's the field in which you want. But then, or you may make knowledge, because if you don't have the knowledge, how do you know what is ownership, what is the elements you're dealing with? You know, or you may make the detachment. So whatever it is there, you're just dealing with this field. It's just which one you make prominent. You know, that's the importance. Then you see the thread. Then you can discuss. This is vichar. You bring out different aspects of the same thing. Study it from different angles. So you study. You know, Krishna says, do your duty in knowledge with detachment, thinking of me to please me. Right? That's basically some finer details of that he'll give. So some of the details he's expanding on, do your duty. Some of them he's expanding on what is knowledge. Sometimes he's expanding on what it means to think of him. Or what it means to be detached. Or what does mean bhakti. So the whole Gita is saying that one thing. But different angles will be brought out, and then that makes the different discussions. Third chapter will discuss more the karma aspect. prescribed duties coming from Shastra, coming from the Lord, this connection. How karma is, it's based on Shastra, that's coming from the Lord. So this connection. Then Jnana, the real knowledge is about Him. Jnana, thinking of Him. You know, bhakti is, means performing the activities. So who is He? He is the whole everything. He is the energy. He is the energetic. He is the Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagawan, in Bhagawan, then all these levels until you finally, 12th chapter, just get to just that pure bhakti of Him as a person. So it's just whatever you emphasize in that. So that's the wonderfulness of it. It's only, you're dealing just with one topic. There's just which element of the topic is prominent for that application. That's time, place, and circumstance. You know, it's just in this circumstance, okay, then the problem is it's ownership. So then we emphasize that it's custodianship. Or because they but or the ownership, maybe that's there, but they understand that technically, but the problem is because of attachment, therefore they can't function. You know, you have the knowledge, but you can't, so therefore then you have to cultivate the detachment in by seeing what's the worthlessness in it, what's you know, things like that. Or as they don't even understand what it is. They're just dealing with it and they don't know, so the knowledge has to be brought out for them. Or they just are behaving badly, so they don't even know the fundamentals of who they are, who anyone else is, and what they're dealing with. So then the Sankarshan element is brought out, because it's they don't even know the etiquette, and they don't know where they fit in the social scene. So depending on the time, place, and circumstance, what is the thing to be encouraged or discouraged, then you'll emphasize that. So that's the so knowledge is good. The and then with practice you get this what fits where. That's where you get realization from practice. Because then you understand, okay, this aspect of the philosophy fits here in this practical application. If you don't do it, then so much nice theory is there, but then you may emphasize the wrong one. You're reading about this in Gita today, and someone comes up, and then naturally you're going to talk about it. But then you may not take it and bring it around enough that it practically fits, because anything that's talked about is just another side of Krishna. So it's all Krishna, so you can get from one side to the other through any point. So you can start from whatever you want and then bring it down to time, place, and circumstance here. You can start over here. So, you know, somebody is more absorbed in certain, you know, the philosophical aspects. Someone's more in the social, some more the economics, some more the, you know, different thing. It doesn't matter. You can start from any one of them. And by applying it properly, get to where the person is at. Plus, you have to consider then where that person is at, what's important for them. You know, how to discuss with them. So that's the sambandha, that's the sankarshan. Do you know who you are, who the person is, and what the situation is? You understand that fully, right? And you're detached so you can just deal with that, not our own angle on it. Then you go. You know, it's like Prabhupada. He's sitting there, he's detached, he's come for a particular purpose, establish a preaching mission, but he sees the disciples, you know, are having difficulty. Okay, so main thing, be absorbed. They're in total anxiety, they're not getting 64 rounds done, maybe 32. You know? Or he was just playing brahmacharis and this and that, and this nice lady comes along, very interested. Okay, so then we make a temple instead of a mosque. You know? Okay, they're in the temple, but somehow or another they, you know, or a couple joins. Okay, then be married. So he just is attached to seeing that people are absorbed in Krishna. So therefore, he's not worried that, okay, I came here with the idea of establishing a mutt where people chant 64 rounds. You know, and just go out and preach. And we're not going to bother with the deity worship and this. As God brothers are all doing, making their temples and ringing the bells and not doing any preaching. We're just going to preach. None of that. But then it doesn't work. And the devotees aren't regulated enough. Okay, Pancharatra, established deity worship. Then that's going on. That's nice. But then there's social needs and economic needs. They're having too much of that. Okay, Varanashram. So then that's knowledge and detachment. Because he's able to see, okay, this is his need. And therefore, letters are confusing. Because you see, one devotee will tell one thing, another devotee another. That's why he says the book is the actual thing, because that's giving the principle and examples. Because the problem is also the letter, you don't know what the other person said to invoke it. You get a general idea, but you can't tell exactly what it is. So it's a problem. So one person is just like example would be not in the letter, but I think it was, he brought up Jashodananda. It was Guru Kripa and Jashodananda were going to go to South India from Bombay to preach. And Prabhupada told Guru Kripa, you just eat rice. You know, rice, because in the South they eat rice and with the buttermilk yogurt and all that. You eat that. Don't get into fried foods, this, that, you know, anything. Just stick to your rice and that. Then Pancha Devita was going to go south, and Prabhupada told him, don't eat rice or that, only eat fried things and, you know, things like that. So I'm thinking, oh, why is this? That's because Pancha Devita's health was very good and strong. So therefore, he should avoid rice because rice carries karma, while fried things don't. And because his health is good, therefore, because you're going to be eating outside because there's no temples and things like that, he's going to have to eat in hotels, people's houses and stuff like that. So he has the health and he can avoid the karma, so therefore you do this. Guru Kripa's stomach was bad at the time. And if he ate anything other than rice and yogurt, he'd be finished. He wouldn't preach. So better take on a little karma and preach than be lying there in bed, you know, and you know, with no karma and no preaching. So one could say this is very contradictory, but knowing the people, and the point is that they should be fully absorbed. So therefore then the instruction will be different. Like that. Is that okay? Okay, so then we'll end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srimad Prabhupada ki, Samavita Bhaktivinda ki, Chaitanya Jagat Guru.